Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, on our way to Chag HaShavuot, is daf Vov. And yesterday we got up to Hecha Shamina. So this is six lines down. And just to bring you up to date, to remember that what we discovered is that the Mishnah can't be going Aliban Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, we've taken it as an article of faith, and today we're going to ask how we know this, but according to Rabbi Akiva, the various Mar'ot Nika'im are mitstarfim on the Seder in which they are listed. So we have the first one is the Baharat, which is as white snow, and the next one is the Se'et, and the Se'et is as white as the white of a newborn sheep. And we'll talk about, and then from there we go to the Sapachat, and the Sapachat starts with Sid Ha'echal, which is a limed whitewash, and the lowest level is Kikrum Beitza. Now, since the Mishnah says that there is Shniyala, and it talks about there being Toladot, so according to the Mishnah, it would go in families, and not one after the other. And the reason that, therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no way that the Mishnah would work, because if he really holds that it's also going to be defined by the next one, step up one, but not two. So you can be mitzaref only with one step up or down, then how in the world would the third level, which is Krum Beitza, how would it ever be able to be mitzaref? Because it can't be mitzaref with the one that's directly above it, because that's a different family. That's this is Se'et, and that's Baharat. And therefore, it must be that the Mishnah is not going all the way to Rabbi Akiva. That's what we came out with. But that was all based on the assumption that according to Rabbi Akiva, the Mar'ot are not listed as families. Rather, the Mar'ot are listed simply in order of lowering albedo, the level of brightness. How much are they going to reflect? The question the Gemara has today is, Hecha Shamina l'Rabbi Akiva Zulam Alamizo. Why are we taking for granted that Rabbi Akiva Dafka holds that the Mar'ot are arranged in order of their level of brightness? Now, it's time for us to take into consideration that not everybody agrees that this is the way to understand the idea of the levels and the families. This is definitely the way Rashi understands it, and the Ramban also understands it that way with certain, I don't know how much we want to go into the Maris Nagoyim, so I won't go into the details, because I'd love to, because it's such a marvelous, again, I'm tempted, but okay, I'll constrain myself. So basically, the Ramban agrees with Rashi, but he has a different interpretation of the idea of Amuka. So that's important to remember. Rashi gets himself into trouble, because Rashi says, by definition, any color of white is going to look relative to something that is darker than it, is going to look as if it's a little bit lower beneath the surface of the dark. Because Rashi believes that that's the meaning of Amuka, so then that would be a problem in the pasuk that says, in the case of Ibaheret, which is Mar'eha Ein Amok Min Ha'or. How is that possible? By definition, if it's Baharat, it has to be Amok Min Ha'or. So Rashi simply gives up. He says, I don't know. Eini Yodea Pirusho. I don't know what this means. So in that particular prat, the Ramban argues with Rashi, and he says that it means not that it simply looks because of the level of albedo, but rather because it also has a sheen to it. And the sheen disappears if there is any kind of sa'ar that is shachar, takes away the sheen, because it interrupts the way the Rambam puts it, it interrupts the level of the light that's going to be reaching your eye, and therefore the eye won't perceive it as being lower. Okay, but in the Yesod HaGodol of the idea of the Mar'ot, that there are simply different levels of albedo, that the Ramban and Rashi agree. However, you should know that there are many other shitas, and we're going to see the basis of those shitas. We've already noted that according to the Mishnah, there are families, right? So what would these families be? How do you make families if there's really only a question of increasing or decreasing albedo? I mean, like, there shouldn't be any notion of families at all, according to this. So, I mean, there are many shitas that hold that, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's only a function of albedo. But according to the Mishnah that learns that there's families, then there have to be different types of maras. So that would mean that they're not differentiated in terms of albedo, but rather, so now there's different suggestions, because there's a lot of different shitas. There's the Raivet, there's the Rajba, there's the Balamor. There's many different shitas. How are the families mechulak? So some learn that the families are mechulak according to different wavelengths, not according to different albedos, in which case there would be slightly different families of colors that we would be talking about over here. So the same way when you have a color chart, where you get one of these, you know, paint things from the paint companies, they've got a particular color that has got 15 variations on it. And then there's a slightly different color, which also has 15 variations. Those are not just albedos, they're actually different tonalities, right? So some learn that that is the difference in the families. It's different colorations, not different albedos only. Some learn that it's different textures. Some learn that it's different levels on the skin. So there's all types of different approaches in order to understand why the Mishnah would split things up the way it does. And by the way, today's Gemara, that's going to be rather strange in terms of finding a mashal for like what these families are. The way the different Rishonim explain the Mishalim is each one is focusing on a different aspect of interrelationship, which ends up being a question of whether is the family constructed according to the actual texture? Is the family described according to the different color? Or is the family described according to the different levels of hardness? I didn't mention that one. Or is the family described according to different levels of height? Okay. So we're not going to go into the details, even though I would love to, but just to keep in mind that the Gemara is not just blabbing when it goes into description of different metaphors to the way the Mishnah is constructed, according to our Tana. And the difference, therefore, between Rabbi Akiva and the Tana of the Mishnah is not just a matter of classification vis-a-vis the tsiruf of albedos. It really would make a tremendous difference in the nature of what a Maarat Zahrat would be defined as. So it looks simple on the surface, but actually the difference between the Tana Kama and, I mean, I should say our Mishnah and Rabbi Akiva is very, very fundamental in understanding the Zahrats. Anyway, so what gives you the idea, asks the Gemara, that according to Rabbi Akiva, the only issue over here is a question of albedo, each one of them being Lamala Mizu? Is it from the fact that we have an interesting conversation between Rabbi Akiva and his son? Meodetanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yoshua, Benosha Rabbi Akiva, once asked his father, why does our Mishnah say, Mar'ot Negaim, Shnayim Shehin Arba? So Rabbi Akiva asked him, well, what are you asking? Define what you're asking. What are you suggesting that it should say? Well, says Yoshua, they should say, anything mikrum beitzav elamala is tameh. If you are right, then actually, why doesn't it just say, anything from a krum beitzav level of albedo and up is tameh? That's all you need to say. Because after all, there's a mitzvah to always say things b'derek tzara. L'olam yilamed adam et talmido b'derek tzara. What would be the point of speaking so much if there are no fundamental distinctions over here? Amar los, Rabbi Akiva said, well, it's in that order, because it's only in that order that they're going to be mitzaref. So because of that, it's saying to that there is a getter of combining with one another, and therefore we have to know what goes with what. Okay, so said Rabbi Yeshua, but that doesn't require that you're going to give each one a name. What's the point of a name? I mean, there may be an infinite way of splitting it up. If you'd be sensitive enough, you'd have the right instruments. So all you need to say is Bikrum Beitzav Lamala Tomei Umitztarfim Zemzeh, if that's the point. So say Tzirov Zemzeh in those terms. Omar Lo, said Rabbi Akiva, because that is indeed, you're 100% right. There is no reason for us to put it that way other than to let you know that in order to be an expert in the dinim of tzaras, we have to be able to make certain that you are sensitive as a kohen to be able to identify upon sight. You can actually identify the level of the various marot. So it's all very nice to tell someone that, and then any amateur can come along, and as long as he's a kohen, he'll be able to be reya maras tzaras. But the fact is that it takes a great deal of sensitivity. And because of that, what we do is we actually define particular shades and then we test the coin on it. So if the coin cannot immediately define the mar'eh that he's looking at, he is not given the right to be reya negayim. So there's a smicha, so to speak, for being reya negayim. And that smicha consists of a bechina in the ability not only to know the dinim, but to actually be able to identify. So kol kohen she'inu baki b'hem u'bishmotehem, eino ro'eh ta negayim. So we don't allow them to see negayim. Okay, so now, let's understand what the implication is. You'll note that his son, Rabbi Yoshua, only asked him that it should say, mikrum beitzav l'mala. But if the truth is that he knew that his father held that there were families, so then he should have mentioned both families. He should have said, it should say Mikrum Beitzav Lamala, and it should say Misidahechav Lamala, right? Because after all, if they're different families, a member of one family, a tolda of one av, is not mitzaref with another av. But he never said that. He said it's a smooth description from the lowest level of Krum Beitzah all the way up, no matter how bright it gets. And there's nothing in between that you need to know. So he didn't mention Misidechal. And from that, Minalo Amali, since he didn't bother mentioning it, he obviously knew that his father didn't believe that there was anything that would be different. And there were no families. And all it needed to say, and that was his whole point of asking his father, if the way you've taught me is correct, then anything up from the albedo of Krum Beitza would be a maratzarat. That's the simplest way to say things. And indeed, Rabbi Akiva only answers him, you're 100% right. And the only reason that we make these stopping points on a chart of albedo, which could have an infinite number of points if you want, but the only reason is because we make these four stops in order to be able to make certain that a coin is bucking. Okay, I mean, yeah, I admit that it certainly sounds that way. But remember, when a Tana says over something in a Braita, he doesn't necessarily give you all the information. It may well be that Rabbi Yoshua did say that, you know what? I mean, maybe what he mentioned was both, but the Tana didn't want to go sitting around telling you each and every word. It should say Mikrum Beitzav Lamala, and then it should say also from Sidahech Lamala. But maybe Rabbi Yoshua actually did say that. V'dilma Seit V'toladeta, Beheret V'toladeta, and he actually did use those words. All right. I mean, you know, I can't prove that he didn't use those words, but all right. If you're going to drain me a cup, I'll go to Rabbi Chanina, okay? From Rabbi Chanina, we can see that there's no other option, because since Rabbi Chanina said, you know what, I'll give you a marshal of Rabbi Akiva. Lama ha davar domeh. Now, this is a the beginning of our mashals, and as I told you before, these mashals end up, according to the various Rishonim, referring to very different elements in terms of how to define the families. But Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold the families. So when Rabbi Akiva's mashal, according to Rabbi Hanina, is actually not a mashal for the Mar'ot we've been talking about. Because remember that there's also, in the parsha that we just had, there's also the issue of Mar'eh Adam Dam, remember? So the Mar'eh Adam Dam is called a patuch because it is mixed with other coloration. So there are the Mar'ot Chalukot, which are straight, flat out, like Basar Chalak. And then there are the Mar'ot Petuchot, with the Chav. So the Mar'ot Petuchot are also four levels and different levels of red in that Mar'eh. So it's true that what Rabbi Hanina is addressing over here in Rabbi Akiva is not the Mar'ot of Loven. He's addressing the Mar'ot Adam Dam of the Petuchot, but we are assuming that those two are completely interrelated. In other words, if we have a smooth transition in the Mar'ot HaPetuchot, and it's just a matter of the proportion of the other color that's mixed with it, so then the same thing would be true of the Mar'ot HaChalukot. That's how the Gemara is going to come out. But don't get confused by the way that Rabbi Hanina seems to be talking about something else entirely. So Rabbi Hanina says, you know, the marshal of Rabbi Akiva Lamad Avadome. So you take, first of all, four cups of milk, okay? In the first cup, two drops of blood fell into that one cup of milk. And into the next cup, four drops of blood fell in. Into the next cup, eight drops of blood falls in. And to the next one, 12 drops, or some say 16 drops. It depends how we understand the progression here, where all of these cups are basically loven. But the problem is that the difference that's caused by taking away some of that brightness due to the redness, is there lamala mizem? Is there lamala mizem? So if that's the way that he's defining Rabbi Akiva's halachas of the patuch, then apparently that would be the way that Rabbi Akiva holds about the chalukos, right? Says the Gemara, not right. Who says that that's true? All you've shown me is that a negalavan adam dam, which is a patuch, the definition of the adam dam is a reference to the amount of red coloration. But how do you know that that's true about a regular mar'ah? B'chaluk b'shametleh. It's true that by changing the proportion of blood to the white, you're also changing the albedo, right? But you don't know that that is the real definition of chaluk according to Rabbi Akiva. I don't see that that follows. I mean, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me that it just makes sense. Chitem, you'll try to say to me, look, I mean, why would there be a difference? If in fact, yehecha deshamatle bepatuch, the same way that you see that it goes in a straight order. So there's a progression of 2, 4, 8, 16, or maybe 12. That depends how we understand the progression. So then it would make sense that hachishamatla b'chaluk. So it must be that Rabbi Hanina understood that that's the way to understand chaluk. It really doesn't follow because I don't even know whether what you said is true according to Rabbi Akiva about patuch. Because bipatuch gufei. Mi shamatle? Are you quite certain that the meaning of Rabbi Akiva Shita is the way Rabbi Hanina said it? I mean, take a look in the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah in Negoyim should say Vatnan. At least, usually, the Bach always fixes the Vahatanyas that are references to Mishnahs into Vatnan. But as I pointed out to you, that's not absolutely essential because it was not always marked. Right? Vatnan, Rabbi Akiva Imer. The Adam Dam Shebezeh V'Shebezeh. If you're talking about Adam Dam, which is just another word for patuch, are the same for the way that we have one and the next. In other words, one and the next would mean the first two colors of Tzoras, which would mean Beheret and Tse'et, they're the same, and it's like mixing wine, diluting wine into water. So it's Kiyayin Hamazug B'mayim, and Shel Beheret is Aza Kesheler, V'Shel Sid De'ahemena. Now this is, for some reason, the Gemara doesn't bring the whole Mishnah, but it's important to know that the Mishnah begins with Rabbi Yishmael Shita, that is very different from what Rabbi Akiva says, because Rabbi Yishmael actually has different families in which the Beheret Adam Dam is like Sheleg, that is mixed with wine. But the next one, when he says, which is the Patuch, he talks about the Patuch of the Sid Ahechal is actually Cholav that is mixed with Dam. So, okay, Rabbi Akiva, the whole point that Rabbi Akiva is saying is that that's not true. They are essentially all the same, and it's just a difference in the extent of the mixture of the Yayin HaMazug B'mayin, and the difference would be how much is the albedo at the end? Is it kesheleg or is it less reflective? So I'm not sure that Rabbi Hanina's approach is even correct. And if what you were saying is right, namely that Rabbi Akiva goes in order, when he says shel zeh v'shel zeh, he should not have said the marshal to the case of Sid, because Sid is two down, right? He should have gone from Sheleg to Tzemer. So why did he say Shel Sid? If what you're saying is true, and that it's in order of albedo, he should have said, Ela Shel Tzemer De'ahemena. Why did he say Shel Sid De'ahemena? So obviously he's talking about families, and he's not talking about one after the other. No, you're right. You're right. And the Girsa is different. Enochinami. He does say Tzemer, because if you take a look in the Braita, Rabbi Nosson Omer, that the correct Girsa in Rabbi Akiva is Lo She'amar Rabbi Akiva Shel Sid De'ahemena. Rabbi Akiva did not say that, because that would have indicated that he's talking about Beheret and a Sapacha to a Beheret, which we're claiming he doesn't hold of, a sapacha to a Beheret by jumping down to Sid Ahechal, and Sid Ahechal would be the sapacha to Beheret, because it would be number three in the order. Beheret, one, Se'et, two, sapacha to Beheret, three, and then sapacha to Se'et, four, which would be the Krum Beitza. So therefore, you've got to understand that this is a mistake, says Rabbi Nosson. What he said was, Shel Tzemer De'ahemena. Okay. So because of that, we are assuming that it's actually in the correct order of just Aldiva. Okay, so a lot of things we've taken for granted. And like, where do we really get all of this from? So how do we know, first of all, that the Beheret is necessarily the one that is the brightest albedo? Look, that's clear, because the Torah identifies the bright white specifically with Beheret, because it says, V'im Beheret Levana, he, what's the meaning of he? He Levana, and relative to her, meaning to Beheret, in Acheret Levana. Torah Rabbana, Beheret Amuka. Now here it's where it is that Rashi ran into trouble. So, Beheret Amuka, V'cheinu Omer, it says, Beferish in the Pasuk, that, V'ra'ot HaKohen V'inei Ne'epachsi HaLavan B'Beheret, U'mar'eha Amok Min HaOr. So, what does that mean, Mar'eha Amok Min HaOr? Now, note that I mentioned to you earlier that according to the Ramban, there is a direct connection between Ne'epachsi HaLavan B'Beheret to the fact that it's Amuka Min HaOr. And in the later case, where it says, Ein mar'eh amuka min ha'or, which Rashi says, I have no idea what that could mean. says the Ramban, that's the whole point, because there it says Sarah lo afak Lavan. That's not a coincidence. There's a direct connection between Sarah afak Lavan and Amukim in Aor, which is a beautiful approach that the Ramban takes to answer the problem of Rashi. It's stunningly meduyik in the pasuk, and that it's the presence of the Sa'ar that actually changes the way that the eye perceives the light, because, I don't know, maybe it's polarized by going through the Sa'ar, which would be interesting if they grow, if they're close enough to each other. So because of that, because what he talks about is the extent to which the eye is confused by the shine, the dazzle of the light, and that's what polarization would cure. So he's stating that if the light passes through the Se'ar Shachar, it no longer is going to confuse the eye in that way. Which is beautiful. Okay, but anyway, yeah, he mixes it, by the way, with a complex discussion of the medical implications of Nega Tzaraas being precancerous, the difference between Tzaraas and the Nega Tzaraas of being precancerous versus identified as already having become cancerous. You know, see, he's medayik in the pasuk in that level also, in that same article. I mean, article, the same pirish that it is, it's a long pirish, the same pirish that he wrote on that pasuk. Fine. So it says, Mara amok min ha'or. But what does that mean? Doesn't mean it's truly amok min ha'or. It's not under the skin. It means it looks mar'eh amok min ha'or. But if you see a patch of bright sunlight that is reflecting where around it everything is in the itself, it's in the shade, it looks as if it's deeper. And what's the meaning of se'eit? Se'eit means something that is higher. Ein se'eit ela gavoah. V'cheinu omer al kol heharim haramim, so you see some, a giv'ah, which is a hill that's above ground level, is called a nis'ot. And then when it says sapachat, which comes the se'et sapachat or beheret, the meaning of sapachat is not a color. The meaning of sapachat is secondary too. So ein sapachat ela tefela. It means something secondary to another thing, like we find in the Nevi'ahs that Shmuel told, the terrible Nevi'ahs that Shmuel told to Eli, that your children are not going to be part of the kahuna, and if they want to have truma, they're going to have to go to one of the other mishpachas, and they're going to say, please, sifachinina, you know, take me in as a secondary member, that I should also have what to eat, and so on. Okay, now we do see that there is a tefillah l'se'eit, and this is, I mean, we said in the Mishnah, shniyala. So we understand that there is a shniyala. We're not asking this according to Rabbi Akiva, because he doesn't hold that there is, in fact, a family of a baheret v'toladta. We're asking according to the Tana Kama. I keep saying Tana Kama, but I mean the Tana of our Mishnah, right? So the tefillah l'se'eit, it says beferish in the pasuk, l'se'eit v'sapachat. But how do we know that there's also a tefela lebaheret, which is where we got the idea of shnayim sheim arba? Omar Rabbi Zeira. Well, it says the word levana when it comes to this se'et, right? So it talks about hine se'et levana ba'or v'hi afcha se'a levan. So that's beferish. And it says levana bebaheret, which was the pasuk we brought before. Ve'im baheret levana hi. That was what we were medayik. So that tells us that just like the levana, that it says in the pasuk beferish by se'et, definitely has a tefela because it says le'se'et ve'le'sapachat, so too the levana, hamura bebaheret, also has a sapachat to the baheret, and that is the krum echal. Krum se'et echal. Now, in the Mishnah, brings a different marker. He til hakatuv l'sapachat, in the bright, I mean, he til hakatuv l'sapachat bein se'et l'baheret, note that it says, yebo or b'sero se'et, o sapachat o baheret. So by putting the sapachat between se'et and baheret, let's lemar lecha k'shem she'tvela l'se'et, kach tvela l'baheret. That's good for the mocker. That teaches me that there is a tefillah to both of them. That's the mocker in the Mishnah of the families. Now, we said that Sa'eit is Ketzemer Lavan. What exactly? I mean, Ketzemer Lavan is a very broad range of albedos. I mean, my gosh, you know, you look at the sheep, they're not all the same level of whiteness. What whiteness do you mean about Ketzemer Lavan? Omer of Bivi, Omer of Asi, what we're talking about over here is what happens when people want to market this very soft, white and valuable wool, which is still done today, is Tzemer Naki, which is the day of birth, where it's completely cleaned. The mother's already cleaned the child. There's been no opportunity yet to collect dirt and atmospheric pollution and so on. And what they do is they wrap something around it and never take it off until they're ready for shearing. Shebechavnimbo, in order to make milat. So that milat is to make very expensive, can refer sometimes to different materials. Over here it means the finest wool type of beged. Omer Rabbi Hanina, you know, if you want to take a look at the Rabbanan against Rabbi Akiva, I told you what Rabbi Akiva is in terms of a marshal of milk and wine. By the way, Rashi points out that in that marshal of Rabbi Hanina, of milk and wine, if you actually do that, you will see that the edges around the coloration are entirely white. And then as you move on from the edges, it becomes reddish, the potuch. And that also was part of the simon of the nega. I didn't mention that earlier because it was there we weren't concentrating on anything but the coloration. So when we're talking about, says Rabbi Hanina, I gave you a mashal for Rabbi Akiva, and I'd like to give you a mashal for the Rabbanan, how they look at it as families. So what you should look at is, for instance, suppose you've got Trey Malke or Trey Ifarche. So let's imagine a case where you've got a meeting of a summit meeting between two kings, and each one of those kings has a secondary governor that we usually use the Ifarche as the governor that's appointed to govern a province of a country. So there's the king, and then there's a more local governor. Now, the king of one particular Ifarche, he is actually Lamala Mimalko Shalzeh. He is more choshev than the king of a lower country, although that person is also called King So-and-so. And what happens is that the king of the more important country, his Ifarch is Ifarcho Shalzeh Lamala Mifarcho Shalzeh. The governor of the more important country is more choshev than the governor of the less important country. So that's obviously, in terms of the diplomatic niceties, if they're serving at the table or who gets to speak first, whatever, that would be the way that they would take care of it. That would be the Emily Post for diplomacy. Well, that's basically what the Tanakhama says.
I mean, in ancient letters, the king of Egypt is always in a different level. The other kings call each other brother. And the king of Egypt is on a different level. You never call him brother. You send your daughter to him to get married. You don't ask for his daughter for you. Mamish and all the ancient others.
I see, but you haven't defined which tkufa.
3,300 years ago, a little before and after as well.
Okay, thank you. As Rabbi Akiva asked his son, define yourself. I asked the Gemara, but wait a minute. I mean, what you've actually done is you still said that there are four madregas, zelam alam yizev, zelam alam yizev. I mean, that's what you've come out saying, even though you said that there were connections between the melech and the afarch, but you still gave this idea of one above the other. Okay. What Rabbi Hanina actually said was that the melech of country A, he is more choshev than his own Ifarche. And the Melech of the other, less important country, is Lamala from his Ifarche. Now that stresses the family connection, which is the Shniela, and that's the Shita of the Chachomi. Ravada Barabba Omar, I would say that the correct Moshe would be a Malka, an Alkafta, a Rupila, and a Resh Galuta. So according to that, we simply list who is more Choshev than the next. Wait a minute, but then that's Rabbi Akiva. Again, you're giving me Zeh L'mala Mizeh. There is no family connection over here. Correct, sorry. I meant Malka and the Rupila, and then the Alkafta, which is almost the same as a Melech, Veresh Galuta. Rav Omar, look, take for example, Shvor Malka and a Kesar, okay? So you have Shvor Malka, who was the local king in terms of Eretz Yisrael, because they were under the Hashpah of the Persians at that time that Rav was alive. And so compare Shvor Malka and Caesar. So if they would come together to a conference, and each of them would bring their people with them, you understand the order that it would go. I'm not going to tell you, of course, because I'll get into trouble. But you got brains, right? So in other words, he wasn't ready to put it as Shvor Malka coming after Caesar, which was the truth in terms of the geopolitical influence of Rome versus the Persia at that time, right? But he couldn't say it. So he put it in that way. So that confused Rav Papa. So Rav Papa said to Rav, but wait a minute, Shvor Malka the Kesar? Which one is more Choshev, Shvor Malka or Kesar? So Rav says to him, tell me something. Have you been living like off the grid for your whole life? What the heck is with you? You never read a newspaper? You live in some kind of hermit place in a forest? You're asking me a stupid question. You don't know who's more important, Caesar or Shvor Malka? I got to spell it out to you so we both go to jail. Get out of here, man. Bo Kazi, why don't you get out of your Beis Hamidrash for a few minutes and take a look and see Tiva Deman Sagi Ba'alma. Who's got the real meaning of Tiva is currency, right? So, but currency, if the dollar is king, then that means that America is the Chosh of Amalchus, right? And if another currency becomes current, then that means that if everyone starts using a different benchmark, then of course that means that that's a different civilization than Azadim. So whose Tiva is more reliable to measure other currencies against? It's obviously Rome. It's a Beferish Apostle in Daniel, where it compares Rome to the monster that's Vetehu Kol Ara Udadushine Vetadikine. This is the animal, the monster that eats the entire planet. It goes wherever it wants, smashes it, breaks it into pieces, buys up all of the other places, repackages it, sells it for double the price, and makes all the money from everybody else's sweat. That's exactly that fourth level monster. What is that? Rabbi Yochanan explained. That is the evil West, Rumi Chayevet, Shetiva Yatza B'chol Olam Kulo, that everybody's got to trade in dollars. And if some Meshugana comes up and decides that he's lifting tariffs, it drives the whole world crazy for months. Fine. Anyway, Ravina Amar, I'll give you another mush. Kegon Glima de Amar Vishachake and Sedina de Kitna Vishachake. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, as you could see, the different Mesholim refer to different aspects. I mean, here we're talking about a glima de amar, that means a new woolen coat. And then you have a worn out woolen coat. Now that's very different between linens on your bed and worn out linen. So it's much more the different of coloration. And these were the shitas that I spoke about in the Rishonim. And that is a reference to, again, machlokas. Is it a reference to the way how smooth it is? Is it a reference to how hard it is? And is it a reference to the different families of colors that it is? Again, many different shitas here. As I mentioned to you before, there's a lot of different shitas in this Indian. So we've got the Raivat shita, the Rajma shita, the Balamor shita, and we already mentioned Rashi and Ramban. Okay, so this concludes our discussion of the Maros Tzaras and the Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama and the different levels of understanding the families. It's just so wonderful to have had this in the week in which we just learned about these Tzaras and the Psukim are so fresh to us. It's just been wonderful the way that things have lined up. Yes, indeed. But he hasn't been smiling at us lately because it's very late for our poor dermatologist. Okay, let's get into the next piece of the Mishnah. So the next piece of the Mishnah begins to talk about the various kaporas that the Torah has given. So, Eshayesh ba yediyah b'tchilah v'yediyah b'sof and ha'aloma. In between, he is chayav in a korban oyla v'yoret. So, how do we know that we're talking about going into the Beis HaMikdash? Oh, I mean, it doesn't say anything about that. It says, v'hu ashem. Ashem with what? What did he do wrong? It's a very, very opaque pasuk. Now, you're telling me what he did wrong was either he ate Basar Kedesh or he went into the Beis HaMikdash. But why are you so sure of that? I mean, it could be referring to a lot of things, you know? Maybe it's talking about eating Truma Betuma, like the Gemara is going to discuss later on specifically. So take a look at the Braita to understand this better. Tuna Rabbana, minayin she'ena katuv medaber ala betumat mikdash v'kedosha. How do you know that when it says, v'hu ashem, it's referring specifically that he ate something betuma, or he went into the Beis HaMikdash betuma. And how do you know that the fact that the person became tamei itself, maybe that itself is called the Hashem? What makes it so clear? I'll tell you. It's v'dinu. First, it makes so much sense because we find ho'il v'hizir v'anash al hatum'a. We know that the Torah speaks out specifically that the only time that we have an einesh on a azhara that's associated with tuma is in two places. Eating basar betuma saguf, or basar kodesh betuma saguf, or being nichnas lemigdash, the tuma saguf. Because it says beferish, we know that we have in Nasa, v'lo yitam'u et machanehem, means do not be metame, the machane of the Shechina. And it also says, that's already closer to us, b'kodashim lo yochal ad asher yitar. So it says a kohen cannot eat unless he becomes tahor. If it's kachem kadashim or Yisrael, if it's kachem kohen, don't eat kachem. That's the lav. But it also says beferish in the parsha of Chukas, where it's talking about the need to have the paraduma. So it says, ish asher yitma v'lo yitchata. If he doesn't get tahor through the sprinkling from the paraduma, v'nichrita ha-nefesh ha-yi mitocha kahal, ki et mikdash Hashem timeh. So it says over there that the chiyav of Karis is only on having walked into the Mikdash. It says that beferish. And when it comes to Achila, it says the same thing. This we had already in V'hanefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashlamim asher l'Hashem v'tumato alav v'nichrata nefesh ahim mi'amer. So this we had in Tzav. And that teaches us that there's a chiyav of Karis eating even basar kachim kalim Bituma Saguf. So if we know that we have Azhorais for those two things, and we have Kores on those two things, and we have a Chatas called an Oil of a Yoret, where the details aren't given, but it says V'Hashem. So obviously, If that's what it's referring to, so af kishachiyev korban ala tumah, makes sense. If the Torah was miyachid a korban of a chatas, a special type of chatas, albeit, but it's still a chatas, it would be kishachiyev korban ala tumah, lo chiyev ala tumah's mikdash mikdash. I mean, it just adds up. You really need a limud? Well, okay, I understand, but there's other places where the Torah actually, it gives you an azhara, and it's mechayev you. I mean, it's not mechayev you chorus, but it's mechayev misa b'dei shamayim, like the case of somebody who's tama you eats truma. So maybe that's the case that it's talking about. Maybe he's chayev in a korban erla v'yoret. But why are you telling me it's only kedesh or migdash? No. Because look, anywhere you want, kol ha'Torah kula, show me one place where you bring a korban chatas on something that's a chiyav misa and is not bidei shamayim and is not a chiyav of koras. There's not a single example of such a thing. So it would be ridiculous to say that's what we're referring to here. We're going to take the standard. We'll apply the standards to here. Something, a chatas is brought on something that you're chayav koras for, which is not truma, but which is, it says beferish v'nichrasa, going into the Beis HaMikdash or eating basar kodesh. So lo ashkachan avon misa, we never find a chiyav misa bidei shamayim without chorus that you'd be chayav a korban for. It's ridiculous. Well, now wait a minute. Don't get so hasty. Is this a normal korban chatas? No. A normal korban chatas is a seira or a kisba. There's no din of, well, if you can't afford it, you know, well, there's no such din. This is what you're chayav. You want your kapora, you bring a korban chatas. Over here, we've got this strange thing. Korban oil of a yorid. Well, if you can't afford it, you know, we'll let you bring two, torin of neyona. You can't afford that. Okay. We'll let you off and you can bring a korban minchas chayte. So obviously this is not meant to be a standard chatas. So if that's the case, in the same way that it's not a standard chatas, it's not brought on a standard thing that a chatas is brought, right? It's lesser. So maybe the lesser is a chiyav of misa, not a chiyav of karas. And maybe indeed it's referring to eating truma betuma and not referring to eating kodesh. I don't know. It's possible. So imahani mili korban kavua. Look, if it's a standard chatas, you're 100% right. But if we're talking about the special oila b'yored, so maybe in that case, you would be able to bring it. Look, there are other chiyuvim of olav yored. They're not chayav koras, and we bring in olav yored. So how do you explain that? How about in the same parsha of olav yored, we had somebody who is shemea kol alavat at shvuas ha'edas or shvuas bitui, which we've been discussing here. There's no chiyav koras in any of those cases. And nonetheless, you have to bring a korban olav yored. So you see that a korban olav yored does not have the normal dinim that it's only brought on a chiyav koras. So what are you telling me? I never found a korban chatas. This is not a standard chatas. Okay, that's a good point. So the truth is, if you take a look at the tuma that is mentioned here, it says, O ki yiga betumat adam, l'chol tumato asher yitma ba. Now, what is that last thing, asher yitma ba? I mean, isn't tuma by definition means something asher yitma ba? It's a little bit ridiculous to need to tell me that tuma means l'chol tumato asher yitma ba. So, because of that, we understand that the word ba is talking about not what it seems to be talking about, the tuma, but rather the chet that you did, asher yitma ba, in that particular chet. And that ba would mean only in what we know until now as being chomer, which is migdash and kodesh, but not truma. Excuse me? Maybe it means exactly the opposite. Maybe it means you can only bring a korban olav yored on a lesser chet, like truma. That's when you can get away with an olav yored. But if you ate kodesh, or you went into the mikdash, you can't bring a korban olav yored, because the korban olav yored is letting you off the hook, And if you don't have enough money, you're not going to be mechuyev to bring the full Kisra Seira? Maybe that's the point. But if you ate Truma, then you can bring an oil of a yared. But if you ate Migdash, you went into the Migdash or ate Kodesh, over there, it's not enough. Lo sagila b'korban and oil of a yared. You're not going to get away with this cheapo korban. Ad the maisei korban kavua, you'll have to bring a regular korban chatas. So you still haven't proven to me what we are talking about over here. Kori rava le de rabbi. Dele mayim mi borot amukim. You know, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is the one that's got the deep wells. He can bring up water all the way from the bottom of the well. And the way he explained it was beautiful. The Tanya. So since it says in the Pasuk something that makes no sense, it says, Nefesh, o nefesh asher tiga, v'chol davar tamei, o benivlat chayat mea. O benivlat behemah tmeah. Now, what is the point of mentioning a behemah tmeah if we know that all over the idea of behemah is bichlal chaya? So whenever the Torah talks about, like it says, zot chaya shetochlu mikol behemah, right? Okay, so chaya includes behemah. We know that the dinim and the vela are the same of chaya and vela. So why would it have to mention the word behemah? I don't understand. So that is in order to be able to make a gzera shava. Because it says over here, behemat me'ah, and by the pasuk that we had, by Shlomi, where it says, nefesh ki tiga, b'chol tamei betumat adam, o b'behemat me'ah. So that word, behemah, in the two sugyas, come as a gzera shava. Since by Shlomi and the Isser, of ochal mipsar zevach hashlomim asher lahashem, it says behima, ma lahalan, it's talking about the tumah of Basar Kedesh, afkan tumas Kedesh. That shows us that the ashem that we're talking about here in Oil of Yared is talking about the ashem bachilas Kedesh betumah. Yeah, but that doesn't say anything about going into the Beis HaMikdash. Afkan tumas Kedesh. How do we know that it means going into the Beis HaMikdash? I didn't tell you the rest, did I? Omar Kra, b'chol kodesh lo tiga v'el HaMikdash lo tavo, which is a tazriya. Wonderful, right? So if that, we also know that a woman who is yoledes or nida, so b'chol kodesh lo tiga, so over there she's tmeah shivas yamim, or Shvuayim, Kenidata, and what does it say? Don't eat Kodesh and don't go into the Migdash. That means that the Pasuk was Makish Migdash LeKodesh. So therefore, if I now know that there is a Chorban Oil of a Yared associated with a Tuma that is Oichel Kodesh, I know automatically because of this Hekesh that there is also a korban oil of a yared on a nichbas l'migdash betuma, because the Torah compared those two isurim. To be continued, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. Whew, wow.